Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
There once was a man called Luke, who was top of the league by fluke. He's not on this week, so he's not going to speak. And today we're considering Pook E. Welcome to Triple Captain.
Wow. Okay.
What did you think of that? That was quite good.
But there's the first major difference for this week's podcast. We haven't got a good poem because Luke's not here.
Oh, rinse straight away. No, I mean, fair enough.
No, I liked it. It was a lot shorter than his.
Yeah, true. I mean, mine was five lines, and the only way I know how to do any kind of poem is through a limerick. Yeah. So, whereas Luke is like an actual qualified actor who knows how to do these sort of things. So, yeah. But yeah, he's not in this week.
Hi, Rich.
How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't like talking very much. I'm background Ben. Back to foreground Ben again, just for 1 week only.
Yes, exactly. Well, last time it was when I was in Lisbon, wasn't it? And was on holiday and had a legitimate reason for not being here. Whereas we don't know why Luke's not here today.
No.
A strange one.
He's been a bit secretive about it. And I don't know what's going on. Like, is he in a meeting? Is he joining another podcast?
Oh my God, imagine it was that.
No, he won't be doing
that. Start listening around. Mm. See if there's any poetry on the other FPL podcasts.
Yeah, so we don't know where he is, but luckily I don't have to carry this on Luke's behalf because it's not really my bag. So instead, can we introduce today's wonderful guest? He is one of my best friends in the whole world and also an amazing broadcaster. But, well, I'll let him tell you what he does. Adam Wilborn from What Culture.
Hey, thank you very much, guys. Pleasure to be here.
How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, not doing good in FPL, but nice to be on the podcast at least.
Yeah, no, it's cool to have you on. I mean, I think the last time I seen you was when we were in a Greasy Spoon cafe after we went to a radio awards ceremony and we had the world's biggest, greasiest breakfast of all time.
It's outrageous. You people say that prices are far too high in London or whatever. We got a meal fit for about three people for about £7. It was great.
Yeah, it was unreal. It was a whole tin of beans, like a whole tray of chips, and then there was still the bacon and sausage coming as well. It was unreal. I think that actually made my hangover 10 times worse than actually curing it.
But, I'm still full.
But yeah. Still full. Good. Cool, well, nice one for joining us, mate. It's nice to see you. And you're sporting a very smart tash as well.
Yeah, I've kept fan of. Movember may well have finished, but I thought I'd just keep it on for this audio-only podcast.
his wife's actually fuming because Adam came to visit me last night in Liverpool. That's why he's on the podcast today. And she said he's literally kept this moustache just so that he could show you. And it needs to come off now. It needs to come off. I think it's great.
I think it's beautiful.
I'm surprised that you can actually see it through the webcam, Rich. Mm. I think that's you'll class that as a win.
Last year when I tried it, you couldn't possibly. It was like my first moustache. for people who obviously can't see it, I can only describe it as sort of like Nigel Thornberry from The Wild Thornberrys. That's about as close as you're going to get.
That is absolutely spot on because of the gingerness as well. Yeah. It just makes it extra Thornberry-ish. Beautiful stuff.
Anyway, Adam, cool. I've kind of introduced you. Yes. But I mean, I think that pretty much everyone now knows what culture is. If you're a lad of a certain age, you've heard of what culture. But just, I mean, you came down to visit a few months ago and we were on my road in Liverpool and this random fella walked past and just went, "Hey, Adam, a bit of the bubbly," or whatever. What did he even say?
He shouted, "A little bit of the bubbly," which is a wrestling reference. Yeah, I work at What Culture, which is a website, but mainly it's a YouTube channel, which covers all sorts of stuff. Mainly, I work on the wrestling team, so we cover the obvious stuff like WWE and AEW, which is the new sort of big startup wrestling company. But we cover everything, film, TV, a little bit of football in there as well, gaming, comics. We cover all of it. And we get mad fans shouting at stuff in the street, which is always good to hear.
So was that meme? Did you start that meme? Did you cut that meme and start it?
No, that was Chris Jericho, who most people who've heard a bit about wrestling from sort of the Attitude Era will remember. He now works for this new wrestling company. And yeah, he accidentally made it into a meme, and it swept the wrestling internet, basically. And that was just the perfect time when we were down here in Liverpool. It was about a week after, and everyone was saying it. And so I got this bloke just walking down Ben Street, just heckling me with a Chris Jericho catchphrase, which is always nice.
I think out of all the guests we've had come on, they've never complained about being heckled. So you're the first guest who's heckled.
Yes,
on this podcast, so you might get some if you're on the about being on the podcast next. So yeah, who knows?
Well, no one will be heckling me for FPL advice, so that's all right.
Oh no. Okay, should we talk about FPL then? How is your FPL team doing?
It's ebbs and flows. There's ups and downs with the team. I've kind of had a bit of an average week. I think I got like 49 points, which is just below average. Started off really well. Trent and Alexander-Arnold did well for me. And I was feeling good, Vardy captain. And then just, I made a fatal error. I know you guys mentioned a little bit about Ings on the last pod. And I was umming and ahhing between him and Jimenez. And I just felt, you know, Southampton, Watford, because it was such a, you know, bottom of the table clash, so scrappy in there. I thought, I fancy that to be low scoring and potentially, you know, sort of one team will snatch a goal and then defend for their lives to get the win. So instead I went for Jimenez because I thought it's Wolves, you know, it's against Sheffield United, who I know are playing really well, but Wolves are at home. Jimenez has got a decent run of fixtures, just as Ings has got. Backed him, and he got an assist this week, but it's nowhere near the haul that I was hoping for him.
Yeah, and I mean, he had a couple of chances, didn't he? He just didn't seem to drop his way. He's been in good run of form. He can't score every match.
Yeah,
and he's unlucky there. But it's still a sensible choice to have him in.
Yeah, and I know people are talking about Son and Ali, but I've had Kane for the last couple of weeks, and he did all right a couple of weeks ago. So I've sort of stuck with him. But despite Tottenham's result, he obviously wasn't really involved that much, which was really disappointing. And now you look at people like Son, and in particular Ali, and they've just been transformed under Mourinho.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, well, Ben, you called it, didn't you, about Dele Alli? Me and Luke were very, very unsure about that. We were talking last week, saying we need to get Spurs players in, but we were thinking Kane, we were thinking Son, but I don't think we really seriously considered Ali. So
yeah,
go on. Yeah, I can see you waiting with bated breath just to say how he delivered for your side.
You know what? I was in the pub with my brother Tom, and we were talking about Spurs and Mourinho, and it was, I don't know, I just had a feeling about him. And then for him to go and score two goals, chuffed about, because I was deciding between Lucas Moura and Dele Alli, and there's quite a big price difference there.
Yeah, there is definitely. But I mean, the goals that he scored, like, they were so bizarre. Like, I think Alderweireld got two assists, was involved in both goals. He just lumped it straight right down the middle. And it just wasn't defended. And it's like the most simple thing to defend. I mean, fair play, because like when Son got it, he just laid it off so beautifully with the outside of his foot into Ali's path. And there was that one. And then obviously the one that Ali took on his own next time. I mean, who'd have thought Alderweireld would get two assists in one game? Or two involvements in one game anyway?
Just to come back to your team, Adam, you have got Kane up front. And obviously, you know, do you want to talk us through the rest of your team? Because Kane was, again, a disappointment, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've got Alexander-Arnold, Vardy as captain, and De Bruyne got the majority of points for me. When I was making a couple of changes a few weeks ago, I think I was trying to get some more Leicester players, and I settled on Tielemans because I didn't have that much to spend. And I thought, well, he's always involved in some capacity. At least he stays on the pitch, I suppose. So I brought in Taylor from Burnley because they were going through a real run of results where they weren't conceding. And I've got Pope in net. So the moment that Palace scored against Burnley this weekend, that was a devastating blow for me because, you know, I've got Kelly on the bench. He got 6 points as opposed to a combined 2 points by Pope and Taylor.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, we've got to give... Sorry, go on, mate, finish point.
Well, just because you figure Burnley, who are playing reasonably well, Burnley at home versus Crystal Palace away from home. I know Crystal Palace are doing relatively well this season, but you just figured that if anyone's not going to concede, it's going to be Burnley. But the moment that goal went in, that was kind of game over there. And then, you know, the rest of the players that I'm sure other people have had or have still got in their team, Mount, Mane. Mane usually gets points. I shouldn't be pointing him out. But Mount, 2. Tielemans, 2. Kane, 2. Lundstrom, 2. There's no points aside from that. Yeah.
No, it's painful. I mean, I've got to say, fair play to Luke, who's not here this week, because he gave me a last-minute transfer tip. It was literally half an hour before the deadline on Saturday, was it? Yeah, Saturday morning, to get Kelly, and Kelly's going to start for Crystal Palace. And I was like, oh, because I was umming and ahhing, because I had Lowton, who doesn't start for Burnley anymore for some reason, and Rico, and I thought Spurs are obviously going to score against Bournemouth. So I had to toss up between them two. Just Kelly sat on my as my third sub on my bench, and Luke was like, no, trust me, bring him in. And I bring him in, and he just has 6 points from off the bench. It was a fair play, Luke, if you're listening. Well done. Good advice. That's why you're the pro.
And also, what a man.
Kelly or Luke?
No, Luke. Because I'm just looking at the triple captain league now. He's in seventh with 819 points. You're in eighth with 810. So you know what? What a man. Even though you're literally hot on his heels, he's still giving you the tips. He's still giving you the advice. And what a way to play the game. That's just reminded me of something that I really wanted to talk about in this podcast, because Adam Wilborn is here. Speaking of, from one a good sportsman to a bad sportsman, what did you do last year with FPL?
Yeah, so I got very into FPL last year. So when I won both the points league and the head-to-head league, there was nothing on the line at What Culture, but I dedicated hours, days, weeks of my life to this. So I bought myself a trophy.
What? You bought yourself one?
So I went online and I bought myself, and I try and find this photo of
and
it.
And then paraded it around the What Culture office.
I got it sent to work. I didn't just get it sent to home.
Just, who does that? Like, the ego on the man is unbelievable.
Look, I've got the photo here, I'm showing it, Ben. It's a big trophy with a football as like the top of it. And it says,
oh, no.
It's even got a little plaque, which I got made because I thought, well,
you got it engraved.
Yeah. So it says, What Culture Fantasy Football Champion. In 2018-19. And the ongoing fight in our house is me trying to insist that this needs to go pride of place on our mantelpiece. And my wife wanted me to hide it away in a box or in my man cave somewhere.
Oh, for God's sake. Even though you bought the trophy off of trophies.co.uk.
Yeah, trophy store, I think it was. Shout out to them. So now, now I keep getting emails from them saying, do you want to buy any more trophies? And I'm like, no, one was enough, thanks.
I'm doing really badly this year. No, you're not doing too
this
badly.
This is next level.
What's your overall points then this year, Adam?
Overall points this year is...
I can see, so you're on 738 points.
Yes.
Which isn't awful.
Miles behind.
What a compliment that is. It's not awful.
No, it's not the worst.
Where's your overall rank, Willis?
Let's find that. How do we find that? There we go. So, overall rank, 1,209,580.
Oh, red arrows.
That's a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
Lots of red arrows there.
Not good.
Someone with a nice green arrow. You had a green arrow this week, didn't you, Rich?
Oh, yeah, I did. I've had a green arrow for, I think, the last... No, I had... Sorry, I've had above average for the last 4 weeks, but I've had three red arrows on the trot, so I'm finally got a green arrow, and this was a big one. I'm so lucky.
Before we get into the talking points, should we just go through your team then?
Yeah, so I got 60 points this week. Kelly got me that clean sheet at the back. Madison got me a couple of assists. De Bruyne got me a goal and bonus, so both those midfielders were on 10. And then Danny Ings got me a goal and some bonus as well. And a captain, Jamie Vardy, so he got me a big 12 points. So yeah, a decent week. And the guys on my bench all got zero, so I just couldn't have got a better score out of my team this week. So I'm pretty pleased with how that one came up. So I've got green arrows across the board, up to 128,272 overall. So this is the highest I've been
congratulations.
In a good few months now. So I've done all right there, to be fair. I'm pretty pleased with myself, patting myself on the back.
Right, Rich, what are our talking points this week?
Okay, so three talking points. You've probably noticed that in December there's a lot of games on Amazon Prime, so we're going to be talking about all the fixtures that are going to be on the streaming service this week in midweek, of course, midweek fixtures. Then we're going to be talking about low-priced screamers. So there's loads of goals in the Premier League this week from players who you probably wouldn't have in your team but are available at quite a short price. Are they just scorers of good goals, or are they worth getting in for a good few weeks? And then we're also going to talk about the new differentials. So as the season kind of continues, we're going to be talking about differentials who we've not really considered throughout the first third of the season. So let's start with Amazon Prime, shall we?
Join the Triple Captain Mini League. League code JLM166.
So if we're looking at three of the fixtures we've got in midweek, there's two big ones that stand out for me. Manchester United versus Spurs. Mourinho going back to his old stomping ground. Everton go to Anfield for the first Merseyside derby of the year, which is, yeah, it's definitely a teeth sucker. And then because we've got a lad from up in Newcastle, we can talk about Sheffield United in Newcastle, because I think you've been to see the Geordies a couple of times, haven't you, in the season? So I think first, should we talk about Manchester United versus Tottenham Hotspur?
What do you think, Adam?
It's a fascinating one, this, for me, because like I mentioned earlier, the game we saw between Man United and Chelsea, they started off and you thought, right, okay, this is the Man United that fans have been crying out for so long. And then for the last couple of games, you know, you watch the game and you hear the commentary and you hear the comments from Solskjaer especially. I mean, he said at half time in the Sheffield United game, he could have substituted the entire team. And it was almost the same when you think about the Villa game. Granted, they went in level, but all people were saying were, I don't know how Villa aren't two or three ahead, and how, you know, Man United didn't deserve to be going in level by any stretch of the imagination in that game. They just, there's no urgency in that team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was listening to it on Five Live, and John Murray, who's like one of the most like legendary commentators, especially on Five Live, and he's just like, this Manchester United team just lack everything that Manchester United of the past have ever had. They've got no kind of guile, no kind of like passion for playing for them whatsoever. And they just don't even have quality footballers anymore. I mean, obviously, Rashford's got some talent about him. He took his header, which was, I feel so sorry for anyone who's got Rashford in their fantasy team. Because you see his header, which hit the post and then hit the back of Tom Heaton and went in. And it went down as an OG. It's so unlucky. But he's the only one at Manchester United who stands out for me who's got any kind of talent. And I think I asked Luke this question last week about who you'd have at Manchester United. And he was like, the only one you could probably have is Rashford. And he's possibly too expensive for what he's actually worth on the game.
All they were saying was, you know, if you manage to isolate the players who've got a little bit something about, like you said, your Rashfords, your Martials when he's in a bit of form, Daniel James likes to run at people. But so long as you know, take them out of the game, there's nothing there. You know, I'm not saying that Harry Maguire needs to be running forward and trying to take on players, but there's no inventiveness. They seem very limited if you can take their key players out of the game. And then you need, you know, Pereira or whoever it is to step up.
I mean, they just...
But you think they're good enough?
No.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, I'm not saying this as a Villa fan. Like, genuinely, they were awful yesterday. And Villa were dominating them, especially in the first half. And it was like Jack Grealish, for example, having him back in the Villa team is wonderful, just because he drives forward so much and everybody puts in tackles on him. And the thing is, he wins lots of free kicks in great areas. And that's where we got our two goals against Newcastle. Man United couldn't handle him. And I couldn't... You know what? Going into that game, a draw for Villa at Old Trafford would have been very happy with. Having watched that first half, I was then disappointed that it ended up a draw, because Villa absolutely deserved the win. And I think Spurs going to... Because obviously they're playing at home again for the midweek fixture, United. I think with the kind of mix of Spurs being a bigger, better team than Aston Villa anyway, with a lot more kind of creativity in their play, but Mourinho going back to Old Trafford is going to want to make a point. I think players like Dele Alli, we mentioned a little bit earlier about how him and Mourinho, I think, will probably work quite well together. I think United are going to get absolutely smashed by Spurs. I think this could be a really big scoreline. I think we could see Son, I think we could see Dele Alli, and I think we could see Kane on the score.
One thing I took away from that Villa United game, listening to it on the radio, is the amount of fouls that Man United gave away. That you mentioned there, they were kicking Grealish all over the pitch. There was...
Well, Maguire got a yellow card in the sixth minute.
Maguire got a yellow card. There was an argument to be made that, you know, Pereira should have been booked way before he was.
Yeah.
So I'd strongly suggest that if they play that way against Spurs, someone's getting sent off. And that is only going to aid the attacking threat of Tottenham. Because it's not like if you take Harry Kane out of the game, which, you know, we've seen teams be able to do if you put a couple of players on him. I think he's magnificent. I think he's one of the best England players in quite a long while. But like you say, just because you take him out of the game, Son's going to still be involved. Alli is in this rich vein of form we haven't seen him for in quite some time. Lucas Moura can add something to the attack as well.
And even Moussa Sissoko scored a goal.
Yeah.
The guy who we were making a joke of at the start of the season, who I was like, get him in, 5 million, he might pop up with a goal every now and then. And he executes this wonderful half volley into the near post against, in the last game rather.
Well, our next talking point, isn't it? The low price screamers.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's a few of them this weekend. I mean, I'm actually thinking of captaining Harry Kane against United.
Yeah.
The reason being...
Not Moussa.
No, I'm honestly thinking that they're going to be brought down. I think there's going to be penalties in that game. And, Harry Kane always puts them away.
That's a good shout, actually.
I mean, Rich, what do you think the score is going to be? If you had to predict a score, United Spurs.
I could see it being quite a high-scoring draw. I could see it being like a 2-2 or something like that.
I'm inclined to agree with that. Maybe a push. I can see Tottenham scoring a late goal and then employing the most Mourinho defensive tax. So maybe I'm going to go 3-2 in that one to Tottenham.
Okay, I'm going to go 4-1 Spurs.
Wow.
Ooh, okay. We should do predictions after all, about all these fixtures. I like this. Let's predict.
Well,
we're already putting a big rod for our back, so let's do it for the fixture results as well. So.
Okay, let's move straight on to Merseyside Derby then at Anfield.
Oh, God. Do we have to?
I think it's going to be... I'm not looking forward to talking to you the day after, Rich, being an Everton Christ. Fan.
I mean, we've not won there since 1999. I was 7 years old and Kevin Campbell scored the winner. So that's how long ago it was. Occasionally we get a draw, which is probably the best we can hope for, I think, because we're playing so badly at the moment. I mean, I think we were quite unlucky against Leicester yesterday. We didn't play at our worst, and obviously it was a last-minute goal as well.
It was good for your FBL team that you captained Vardy against Everton. Yeah, I can't believe you did that.
I know, and I'm thinking of captaining Mane against Everton in midweek as well, because it's just... It's like the only solace I get from Everton losing is if I captain the player who's scored against us. That's like the only outcome. Obviously, it's still dreadful when we lose, especially against Leicester in the last minute. But you've just got to load up with Liverpool players for this game if you can, because Everton, along with Watford, are probably the two most poorly informed teams in the league at the moment. And Watford are moving on to their third manager of the season, and we've only just gone into December. And arguably, we should already be on our second manager. But because it's the most weak-minded way of managing a football club. So Kenwright and Mashiri, the two owners, this is the rumour, by the way, is that they're not sacking Silva now so he can have the hard fixtures against Liverpool, against Leicester, against Manchester City, so that the new guy comes into these easier teams and he's just... tiptoeing his way into getting his team to play his way.
Surely it makes more sense to bring in a new manager whilst, yes, they have tough games. They're kind of a free hit. They're kind of just, right, get used to the side, see who works, see who will play for you and go from there, as opposed to chucking him in cold and being like, well, you should probably go out and beat your Watfords or your Southamptons of this world. And then if they're not sure of the exact lineup that they want to be playing or who's in form or whatever, because we can all look at Everton and pick who we think is the best squad on paper. But, and you discussed the other week, Sigurdsson's not been playing that well and they just haven't really gelled as a front line. To mention Everton, I watched back the Leicester game this morning on YouTube, and one of the top comments that I saw was, "This is the most Everton thing to happen," when Iheanacho scored.
Mate, I've said that about 5 times this season. It's just outrageous. It happens all the time. It's always Everton. It's almost as if there's some kind of reality show and the Everton fans don't know they're in a reality show, and there's constantly somebody trying to make us as miserable as possible for their entertainment. It's genuinely, that's what it feels like. It's so upsetting. But anyway, we go to Anfield. We've got a good record.
I will counter that by saying it annoys me when Premier League football fans moan about their situation, because my team are Chesterfield, who people may remember from the 1997 FA Cup run where we got to the semi-finals, and that's about it. We have dropped from being in the playoffs to get into the Championship about 5 years ago to now being in the National League and currently about to be relegated to National League North.
Oh, God.
We scraped a 2-2 victory against... Who was it against? Aldershot. We scored a 95th-minute winner against Aldershot. We lost, I think, 5-1 last weekend. And my favourite thing I had, to go a bit off topic here, is we've got a Liverpool fan in our office, which is always fun. And last year, when Chesterfield were on the verge of a triple relegation into National League North. Don't worry, we just about survived. We'll get relegated this season. He turned around to me and was moaning about the fact that their third choice left back had been sent out on loan.
And he's
like, "Oh, what's going to happen?" And I was like, "Yeah, my football club might be getting triple relegated, and you know, might just not exist next year." But tell me more about your third choice left back going on loan to Southampton.
Liverpool fans are a different breed, and I think they'll even admit that. I have a mate back in Liverpool who's a staunch Liverpool fan, and she believes that Liverpool fans invented chanting. She's like, "Yeah, but Liverpool fans came up with chanting first, didn't they?" I was like, yes, let's go with that.
Just to get back onto the derby then. So we all think that Liverpool are going to smash it.
Yes.
If you only had one player to pick from Liverpool to put in, because obviously I had my wild card last week, brought in Mane, and I've wanted him the whole season, brought him in and he blanks. Rich, you're talking about captaining Mane. Is he going to come back for that fixture?
Possibly. The only reason I think he may not deliver this week is because I think Everton are probably just going to sit back and defend, and hopefully we'll hold out till maybe the hour mark until we concede. And it's not usually in these games where, you know, a side sit back or a dead defensive where the likes of Mane and Salah get in behind because they haven't got the space to operate in. So this could be one for, you know, your likes of maybe Van Dijk from a set piece, or maybe even like Wijnaldum or Henderson or something like that. You know, there's pretty much anyone in the Liverpool team could score against us, and I'm including Adrian in that list as well, by the way.
Well, so, you know what? Yeah, it's usually pretty dull in terms of the results. So the last few games, it's been 0-0 back in March. Then December last year, 1-0 to Liverpool at Anfield. 0-0 before that in the April. Going back to 2017 now, 1-1. Then actually, I suppose you've got to go back to April 2016. Until you see a big win where it's when Liverpool beat Everton 4-0. But again, before that, it was draw, draw, draw.
But
actually,
this,
I think it's going to be a big result for Liverpool this weekend, just based on that. Look, it's time for one, I think, in the dark.
Yeah, and also this is probably, you know, the year where they're probably going to win it. Because what, they're 11 points clear of Manchester City now, are they? Who, I mean, it's all good and well saying Leicester are closer to them, but Manchester City are really the only team who could probably, you know, win the league ahead of Liverpool. But,
you know,
but yeah, it's probably
going
to be Liverpool
right now.
Oh,
yeah.
I think this could be a week of, in fact, rather than Mane or Salah or Firmino, who I think is, you know, is always involved and just unfortunately doesn't get the points really to recognise something like that. I think it could be a week for Trent Alexander-Arnold again. Or Robertson, you know, a lot of people just plump for Alexander-Arnold, but Robertson's having a great season as well. It might be one of those. It might be, maybe big at the back is back again.
Just for this
resurrected
week. At Anfield against Everton, almost definitely is. Cool, right, I'm fed up with talking about how awful Everton are. So yeah. Should we move on briefly to talk about Sheffield United v Newcastle, seeing as we got Adam from up in those there regions.
Yeah, although before we talk about Newcastle, Rich, you said something before we started recording that was interesting. You think that Sheffield United, they've had a really good run defensively. You think that's coming to an end, but why?
Yeah, I do. So I know loads of people have been doubling up on Sheffield United defenders. I just feel as if, okay, they've done pretty well over the last couple of months. I think they've got the second or the third best defensive record in the Premier League at the moment. And, you know, they've beaten teams like Everton, like Arsenal. But I just feel like they're getting a bit too big for the boots now. And I feel like they're starting to come out and play a little bit more, which is probably why we've been seeing Moussa getting on the goal-scoring streaks of late, because they're getting comfortable in the Premier League with their attacking form, which always is obviously going to leave them a little bit more empty at the back. So I feel like this could be the start of Sheffield United's great defensive record starting to crumble, really. But I don't know. I could be completely wrong, but Newcastle are probably one of those teams who are going to struggle to score against them, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, I have the feeling that Sheffield United, what are they on? They're seventh in the table now, 19 points. So they're, you know, near enough halfway to their total that they'd be aiming for at the start of the season. I think all they wanted to do was continue playing the football that got them to where they are and to maintain their stay in the Premier League. And they look set to do that, even if they have one of those typical promoted teams second half of the season where they struggle to pick up points. I think they've stopped they started off initially saying, right, all we need to do is not concede and then we'll see what happens. And obviously that's why your Lundstroms and the midfield really got involved in going forward. I think you're right. I think now they're becoming more confident and think, you know what, we can go out there, we can beat some teams, and that is to the detriment of the defence. But you ask any Sheffield United fan, would you take seventh place at the start of December, 19 points on the board? They'd snatch your hand off. And they've been playing absolutely some great football as well.
Yeah, they really have as well, with like the solid three centre-backs and the two full-backs, Baldock and Stevens. They just look unbelievable together on each side. But do you think Newcastle will be able to break them down?
It depends which Newcastle turns up, I suppose. I've been to see Newcastle a couple of times at St James's this season. The problem they have, I find, is that front three just cannot buy a goal.
can they at all?
I was there. Who scored when I was there? Yedlin scored one. Kieran Clark scored the other.
The centre-back.
It was that game. I can't remember who it was against off the top of my head. It was that game where they had the chance to, I think it was Almiron and Saint-Maximin. And they were 2-on-1, and I think it ended up Saint-Maximin's shot hit Almiron or vice versa to go wide. And if he wasn't going to score then, I just can't see where they get the goals from. But the rest of the team chip in with goals, so you can't really complain.
I mean, that Shelby goal was amazing.
Unbelievable.
Fantastic goal. I have to say, though, they did look good, but I don't think they're going to sustain it. I think they G'd themselves up for the big games, but yeah, I don't think they can sustain it. Like, Saint-Maximin, for me, is one of the biggest disappointments of the season so far.
He's got such pace.
Yeah, but he's got pace, and he really does drive forward, but then he doesn't have anything on the end of it. Mm. He kind of runs himself into a bit of a corner a lot of the time.
I think it's all confidence-based. I think if he did actually get on the score sheet, he'd be, you know, because he's clearly got the ability to take opponents on. It's just... Mm. He suddenly sees the goal in front of him and freezes because of his record so far. Yeah. Willems is another good one. He's actually, when you see him on the pitch, he's involved in a lot of stuff as well. He just might not necessarily score the points.
Mm. Yeah, well, Willems is actually quite highly... I think he's probably the highest rated defender for points this season for Newcastle. He scored, didn't he, the first goal for Newcastle?
Yeah,
he did. At the weekend. Yeah, yeah, so he looks like a decent player. He was always highly rated as well when he was coming through in Holland and... Yeah, no, he's doing well in the Premier League. But
if you have to predict Sheffield United Newcastle, then what's your predictions?
2-1 Sheffield United for me.
I'd say 1-1. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring one. I think 1-1.
Yeah, I think it might be the least entertaining game of the week, actually.
Yeah, probably will. So I'm glad we talked about it anyway.
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram at TripleCaptain3.
Right, should we move on to low price screamers? I mean, we have been talking quite a lot already, so we should probably keep this one relatively short. But there's a few players, aren't there, Rich, who scored some absolutely fantastic goals over the weekend that you can get for kind of low to mid prices. I mean, just looking at our list here, we've just been talking about Jonjo, Shelby for Newcastle, Jack Grealish for Aston Villa with an absolute worldie. Where he pulled that one out from, I don't know. Harry Wilson with two goals, Cantwell with a decent goal. I mean, Iheanacho should probably mention as well. I mean, where do you start, Rich? Could.
Seeing as we're just talking about Newcastle, should we talk about Jonjo Shelvey? Mm-hmm. He's the highest scoring midfielder for Newcastle this season. And I swear he's only played in like half the games because I think he's very hot and cold, Jonjo Shelvey, which is the reason for him not getting played so regularly. But I mean, you're looking at his points. He scored in the win over Norwich in the second game of the season. And then he didn't do anything until match day 11, where he scored in the win at West Ham. But he's got for a midfielder, he's got no assists at all, which, you know, you're in midfield and you're thinking Jonjo Shelvey, he's the creative one. Everyone raves about his free kicks and his corners and any kind of set piece that he takes. But he just isn't delivering on the assist front, which is obviously a big part of FPL. You could argue that's because, like Will has just alluded to, Newcastle's front line is flipping awful, which could be the main reason for it. But he has played 90 minutes in the last four games, so you could genuinely consider him. And for 5 million quid, you know, that is a pretty cheap option. And he's definitely a scorer of great goals than a scorer of a lot of goals.
0.4% selected.
Yeah, exactly. He's a great differential. Whether he can replicate that against what he did against Manchester City once again in midweek against Sheffield United is another question. If you think Newcastle pushing forward against Sheffield United, who do like to sit deep, there is going to be options to hit it from range against Sheffield United. So who knows? Shelvian this week could Newcastle, be a decent option. Yeah.
They've got some great fixtures coming up. So Sheffield United this week, then they've got Southampton at home, Burnley away, Crystal Palace at home, Man United away, Everton at home, and that takes you back up to the end of the year, when actually their New Year run is where it starts to be tough again for them. Leicester, Wolves, Chelsea. So, I mean, up until the New Year, they could be a little shout, Newcastle.
Absolutely. Willis, what's the opinion on Shelby up in Newcastle? Do they like him, or is it, like I said, hot and cold? They're not too sure on him.
He, like you say, is so up and down when it comes to Newcastle games. There's games where he sort of thinks he's better than he is, if that makes any sense. As in, he tries to do the impossible when the simple ball would just be the most obvious one to play, and the crowd gets back and get frustrated with him. But like you say, occasionally he can pull out the goods in a sensational way. I certainly wouldn't have him anywhere near my fantasy team. I think the problem is that people will see him do something like he did against Man City, bring him in, and he's one of those players you bring in for 3 weeks and he does absolutely nothing, and then sod's law, the moment you take him out, he probably is going to score another screamer. But the general opinion of him is, even amongst Newcastle fans, if you were picking a squad, a fantasy team, and had to pick, you know, biasly pick three Newcastle players, I don't think Shelby would make it in, to be honest.
Okay, Adam, then in terms of low price screamers, or low to mid price screamers, who would your pick be from this weekend?
I'm tempted to say Harry Wilson. My only issue with Harry Wilson is I've just looked at Bournemouth's fixtures, and yes, they've got Palace on Tuesday, but after that, I'm fairly certain it's the likes of Liverpool and Chelsea. So whilst you can say, well, he can always, you know, you're backing him in here not to necessarily win the game and not to necessarily keep a clean sheet, but rather to just be involved or perhaps score a goal, because he's had a really, really good season for Bournemouth. My problem is, at this time of year, you can't be bringing people in for one game week. You have to try and play, you know, 2-3 weeks in advance. So
many fixtures this time of year.
I'd probably avoid him.
What about Cantwell at Norwich? He scored in his last two games and looks a real talented player.
Yeah, he's one of those, like you say, a cheap player who could really, really make the difference for you. He's been involved in quite a few other people's teams I've seen. And he's always one that I sort of hover over and consider. And you look at Norwich's fixtures over these next few weeks, and yes, they've got Leicester on the weekend of the 14th of December, but prior to that, they're playing Sheffield, they're at home, and then of course this week they're away at Southampton. Cantwell could be the real difference maker, or as we mentioned, it could be Jack Grealish. He blew me away against Man United.
I'm glad you've mentioned Jack Grealish, because I think he's the obvious pick. You know what, him coming back for Villa,
it's completely unbiased opinion. Yeah,
yeah, mate, honestly, like, the fact you keep hearing it everywhere, the fact that he's not getting called up for England. I read a stat today that out of English midfielders, he's been directly involved with the most goals, and either assists or goals themselves, out of any other English midfielder in the league.
I agree with you. I had no idea how Barkley continues to get called up to the England squad and Grealish doesn't even get a sniff.
It's unbelievable. And you know what, it's because, yes, okay, he knows that he's a decent player and he can rub people up the wrong way, but that's all part of his persona, you know. On the field, he's aggy, he winds teams up. Yeah. And you know what, he did exactly that to United, and I think that actually coming forward, Villa have got a few tough weeks coming up. At the same time, I think if you can kind of work someone like Grealish into your team, there's some games where you just know that Grealish is going to score. You know he's going to get an assist or score, especially at Villa Park. He loves playing in front of the whole end. So I think he's worth, if you can work Grealish into your team somehow, he's worth having on your bench, and then he can score you some good points.
Cool, yeah. Could be a good differential, which I think brings us nicely onto our third and final point. New differentials.
Triple Captain. Email your voice note questions to triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk.
We're kind of moving into the second third, if you will, of the season now, which is probably a good time to consider getting in a few differentials to try and catch up on other players in your mini league, because you know everyone by now has got De Bruyne, has got Vardy, that sort of thing. So who could you bring in to catch up on the other lads in, or ladies, in your fantasy league?
I think Moussa for Sheffield United is a real hot pick for right now. He's consistently
Willis hot pick.
Yeah, he's consistently scoring points for Sheffield United. I don't know how many. He seems to have got a lot. I don't know. You're more of the statistician.
Yeah, he's got five goals this season.
Yeah, so he's vital for someone like Sheffield United, leading the line, but also getting involved with goals. And we mentioned Newcastle. I think he could easily snatch at least one goal midweek. And, you know, it's one of those. It depends how many people you're playing up front. I've transitioned into a 3-4-3 since I was told Big at the back was dead.
real aggressive.
He's not letting it go. He's not letting it go, is he?
We're sorry. You can't play three high-priced forwards all at the same time. You need someone who, yeah, granted, some weeks may only score you a couple of points, but there's other weeks where, like we say, there will be a real difference maker because no one else will have put him in their team. And I think Moussa's one of those. One such a player.
Rich, yeah, 100%. Who are you thinking?
I'm thinking Mikel Antonio. Now, this is an uber differential because I don't think anyone at all has got Mikel Antonio in their team. So I'm just looking at his stats on West Ham now. So he's been out for about 10 weeks through injury. And in previous games before that, he's only really played 45 minutes. But against Chelsea, he started up front, leading the line as the number nine for West Ham against Chelsea. And obviously they came away. He scored a goal which was ruled out by VAR, which is unfortunate. But he also had a few decent efforts at goal as well. So he was getting himself in there. And I think he used to be a fullback when he played at Notts Forest. And then he transitioned into a winger at West Ham. But now he's leading the line for West Ham. And if you can get a midfielder to play in a striker's position, who's going to be playing a striker, it's worth getting in. It's like Lundstrom, who's down as a defender on this, but he plays as a winger. So I think getting someone in who's wrongly positioned on FPL, you've got to get them into your team, especially when they're owned by 0.7% of players. And he's only ranked, at 6.9 million, which, you know, isn't too much really for a guy who's going to be leading the line for West Ham.
Interesting, that, Rich. Interesting. I'm going to just say Dele Alli. He's got to be like, okay. I'm so happy I brought him in. And also Danny Ings. I'm chuffed about Danny Ings.
Danny Ings was a really, really good shout. Yeah. They've got some good fixtures coming up as well.
They do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ali's goals were just so straightforward. It was bizarre. I don't think anyone could have predicted that he'd get two goals after the season that he's had. But I think, like you said earlier on in the podcast, he's just one of them who just, when he's in a bad mood, he just can't be bothered. But, you know, as soon as he gets a new manager in, you know, it just lifts everybody around the training ground, doesn't it? And it's obviously paid off for Ali more than anybody else at Tottenham so far.
Right, well, on that note, should we say thank you, Adam Wilborn?
Boys, it's been a pleasure to be a part of this. Yeah, hopefully I can take some advice from you lot and go up my mini league and buy myself another trophy at the end of this season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maybe we should get a trophy. Do you reckon we could get one in?
I think absolutely. I think maybe we need to be,
I mean, the budget for Triple Captain isn't that high, but I'm sure we can probably get a couple of quid to get an inch or two tall trophy, something like that.
I'm constantly being bombarded by trophy stores discount codes as a result, so I'm sure I can hug you.
Rich, I'm not sure if you checked the Triple Captain WhatsApp group, but we have actually had a voice note from Luke. He just can't keep away.
Okay.
I mean,
what's he saying?
It's a poem.
Oh, no.
Should we let Luke play us out of this week?
Okay, let's do it.
So, Adam, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Been great to see you.
I'm enjoying. Thank you, foreground Ben.
Yeah, there you go.
Back to background Ben next week.
Back to the background next week. And here's a little flavour of Luke Journey to play us out.
Manchester United are now a mid-table team, with Rashford the only spark. He replaced Tammy in a lot of teams, despite us being left in the dark about the extent of his injury, as Chelsea lost to West Ham. Arsenal with Ljungberg still can't win. Jonjo Shelvey left City in a jam. Leicester are the team keeping up with Klopp's boys. Poor Marco Silva remained tight-lipped. There's only one thing certain. In football right now, Pochettino will be heading to United. Welcome to Triple Captain.
You've been listening to Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. And we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please subscribe on your chosen podcast app. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please rate and review us to help more people discover this podcast. And follow at Triple Captain 3 on Instagram and Twitter. Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.